Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Team Broadcasting.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleep, walk away.
Welcome.
You made your best decision of the week once again. You tuned in to Cafe Mahogany. Once again, and joining us today, this is Took, joining you today with your nice hot cup of coffee or whatever adult beverage you might have in your hand, and the number one lady of Blog Talk Radio, Miss Tiki. Tiki, are you there?
I am. Hi.
How are you?
I don't know who has it better than me. I'm wonderful.
Wow.
I am a wonderful man. It is a good life.
It's a good life. It's a good life.
It's a good life.
Mm-hmm. Can we tap into what consists of, what makes up all that wonderful to you?
Yes. I recently started a business that I'm trying to grow into a foundation with six of my high school classmates. It's called hashtag I Am Selma. So
yes.
I'm very, very excited about that. I had an opportunity to be in Selma this past weekend for the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March.
Beautiful.
And yeah, it is. The energy was crazy, an estimated between 80 and 100,000 people.
Wow.
If I had to give a number, it would be a lot higher.
Wow.
But definitely, definitely a lot of people. The city was busting at the seams. Such a small place, but there were so many wonderful people. And I'll tell you, man, the place was hot with politicians and celebrities and just people from all walks of life. But what gave me life, what gave me energy, was the everyday people that I met, you know, people
right.
that just come up to you on the street and start talking to you and sharing their stories. It was good
what?
Stuff.
Wow.
It was good stuff.
Wow, just realness of it with, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because I was.
Speaking of a great wiki, and happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you, Tiki. I really appreciate it. And it was a great birthday. You know, for as much as I can say on the air, it was wonderful. Thank you. I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. But I really wanted to be in Selma with you. We had talked about that, and my schedule would not allow me to make it. And that's my doing, you know, trying to do things last minute. And as you well know, air flights and things of that nature can be almost virtually impossible, you know, especially from my pocketbook. So I couldn't make it. I was disappointed, but nonetheless, I appreciate you and those of us, I guess first names are okay. I saw the post from you and Levi, and it made me feel like I was still there because I was definitely there with you in spirit. And you know, it was a very moving. Didn't I see you? Did you get pictures with Michael Dyson?
I did. No. I got pictures with Michael Eric Dyson. Did you say
right.
Michael Basden?
No,
Dyson.
I said
yeah.
Michael
okay.
Michael Eric Dyson, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I did. I was. We were standing in line. There was a section where you had to have tickets. There was a general public section, and then there was a, like, I don't want to call it VIP, but I think that's what it was. But there was a VIP section where you had tickets to see the president, and you had to go through all these security measures. And I was standing in that line, and I was like, I know that's him. I was like, oh, I was like, excuse me. I was like, yes, I am. And I started laughing.
Wow.
And he was like, who are you with the beautiful smile? And I was like, I'm Tomika.
That is wonderful.
He said, so what, do you want a selfie? I said, no. And he said, oh, my.
Wow, that's different, right?
Right. I said, but I would like to take your picture. And he was like, okay. He said, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to post it. He was like, tell everybody I said hello. So I did. I was like, Mike says hi.
That is great.
But, yeah.
That's
so we
great.
Had a little time to spend in the line, and we talked. It was good. It was good. I liked it.
Beautiful. Well, it was nice. I was very proud to see, you know, and know people that I know participated in such a historic event. You know, I was very disappointed in the fact I couldn't be there, because that what happened on that day will never happen ever again. And the opportunity will never present itself ever again that, you
right.
know, we're all able to get together and march, with the president, with the first and with a black president of these United States. On my birthday, March 7th.
Oh.
I got a feeling that'll never happen again, but nonetheless, it wasn't meant to be. But nonetheless, as I said, I was there in spirit, and I was very proud and happy for you and people alike that we know. So,
I saw post that Levi was there, but I didn't run into him. It's amazing how many people were there. I think our producer Togo might have been there too, but I didn't run into him either. I ran into a lot of people, but I didn't see a lot of people that were saying that they were there, and that was okay because I met all kinds of people. I made all kinds of connections and. One of my girlfriends that I've been catching up with on Facebook, Glenda, we hadn't seen one another since graduation night. And I saw her. And look, we went to this little Mexican restaurant in Selma that they were telling me about. And
wow.
It had been there like 2 or 3 years. I'd come home, never knew the little restaurant was there. And it was like, you know, you got to go because the drinks are awesome, right? So, you know, I get on Facebook every now and then talking about I got a glass of wine or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't ready for this blue margarita thingy,
uh-oh.
Right? So I order a drink, you know, like I'm a big girl, like I can handle it, right? Clearly, I could not handle it.
Wow.
One drink, and I was looking for a ride home. Like, can somebody take me home?
Oh, my God.
But it was funny and it was good, you know. But, yeah. No, I'm going to have to send you a picture of this drink. I took a picture of this.
Please do. Because, you know, I mean, I think what I find funny in that, and people that know me know I know nothing about alcoholic beverages, but nonetheless, I've come to learn that it's usually something very powerful when it's described as a thingy.
Right.
Wow,
I couldn't handle it.
Wow, so it sounds like we both had like a great weekend and a great week building up, but as we do with every show, Tiki, we, you know, our opening sports moment, please tell me what's going on with your 49ers.
My 49ers have imploded from within. I am sick. Two of my favorite players, Patrick Willis and McCarty, are no longer with the 49ers. And I am, when I saw the stories, I got physically ill. You know, like this sinking feeling inside of me, this just,
right.
It left me weak. I didn't know that I would have such a strong emotional reaction that it would affect me physically.
Right.
And it certainly did. So I want to trust this organization that has championship DNA, right?
Yeah.
But I also like to rely on my instincts, and my instincts tell me that this is not good, that I have to suffer some more before I get back to a place where I'm happy with my 49ers. So, yeah.
Well, you're definitely the first person I thought of when I started seeing all, you know, this avalanche of changes starting to happen. And, you know, to be honest with you, you know, I figure, you know, let's just let it play out and see and, you know, hope for the best. And you know, they still have some quality players on the roster, and they still have a roster to fill. But you definitely lost a lot of key pieces. And, you know, we are going to kid ourselves. This new administration are trying to do things their way. So they're either going to look like some geniuses or some complete idiots. So let's just hope for the first part and hope that, you know, things work out for the best. But, you know, when they started rumoring about trading Kaepernick, I was like, wait now. You know, they're trying to
get
them.
I you know, it's like I don't want to look and I don't want to pay attention, but I can't help myself. I'm not real sure. I'm not real sure how to handle it. I feel like I'm being personally punished by the football gods, you know. All of them, all seven of them are pissed off at me right now. So.
Well, we don't feel like that about our personal team, so we gonna take it personal.
Right.
A true fan, as they say, fan is a derivative of fanatic. So
right.
We're going to get a little crazy when it comes to an emotional and take things a little personal when it comes to our team, especially during football season from a week-to-week basis. Everybody know when them Dolphins lose, I'm not in the best mood. So probably it's probably best not to talk to me till Wednesday.
Right.
It takes me a couple of days to get over it. But
right.
Tonight, we, you know, the subject of tonight's show is single and loving it.
Is that possible?
I believe that is more than possible. It's a thriving outlook, at least coming from this area of the world. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about not only is it possible, you know, what makes it possible, and we don't talk about even some of those lonely moments that some folks seem to think that we single people always have. We'll talk about that right after the break. We'll be right back. Catherine Hoffman.
All
right.
You're inside the Cafe Mahogany with your host, Kiki and Cook. The place where we talk about what we don't talk about. For those of you that could not join us inside the cafe, we still want to hear from you. The number to call is 516-595-8113. So pull up a seat, order a drink, and tell us what's on your mind.
Are you a business owner looking to expand your business nationally? Well, join the hottest internet radio network, Team Broadcasting. Advertise your business or organization on this program or others. Choose from a winning lineup: Selma Toro's Baseball, Toro Talk, Bridging the Gap, The Lonely Hearts Cafe, and Cafe Mahogany. We look forward to partnering with your business to help you grow, whether it's locally, regionally, or nationally. Contact us for more information, 334-505-1940, or send us an email at yourteambroadcasting.com, 334-505-1940, or yourteambroadcasting.com. We look forward to partnering with you.
You're inside the Cafe Mahogany with your host, Kiki and Cook, the place where we talk about what we don't talk about. For those of you that could not join us inside the cafe, we still want to hear from you. The number to call is 516-595-8113. So pull up a seat, order a drink, and tell us what's on your mind.
Talking about tonight what it is, once again, talking about the things that we don't talk about. And tonight, we're talking about being single and actually loving it. Tiki, I'm going to be honest with you. I think time is closing up, and I don't think this marriage thing is going to happen for me. And I don't seem to be too bothered about it. And from what I hear, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, I decided not to worry about it. I had torn off marriage in my younger years because I didn't trust another person to uphold their end of the deal. Because, you know, I've always had that position that ain't nobody leaving nobody. Your ass is mad. You need to go down the hall to another room. Well, ain't nobody getting divorced. So that has been, I just couldn't face the possibility of divorce because it would feel like I failed at something. And my personality is I don't compete with other people in any area. My biggest competitor is inside of myself. So for me, you know, to face the possibility of a failed marriage is just, you know, not my idea of a good time.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. You use that word compete because I think that describes eloquently, actually, the feelings that I've had all over the years in that. You know, folks have always said, "Oh, as you get older, you'll grow out of it," or "As you get older, you'll want to have that companion," and you know, or they'll use the analogy of compromising and things of that nature. And I'm going to be blatantly honest here. I've identified things that I'm not willing to compromise. And I don't see how me compromising those things unwillingly would lead me into a happy life. So it's actually a turnoff for me, you know, to think about, you know, a life that I would have to live in an uncomfortable nature for the sake of keeping the same person around all the time.
Well, I think the key to that is marrying the person that you would want to keep around for all time. I have my soulmate lives in North Carolina. And, you know, today I may call him up and say, "Hey, when we get a certain age, we're getting married, okay?" And he'll laugh and he'll say, "Okay." And then a month later, I may be like, "All right, forget it. Scrap the whole marriage idea. Just screw it."
And he'll say,
"Okay." But, you know, I think this man knows me better than anybody in my life. And if I had to trust a person to uphold their end of a marriage, it would probably be him. That's just the kind of friendship that we have. But at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily want to burden him with being married to me because I'm sure that's a job.
Could you say that again?
I am sure that that is a job. Whatever.
Right. I mean, no. Come on now. I mean, Tiki, we always be honest with each other, and we try to be as much as possible on this show. And we understand that, you know, I mean, even you have said yourself, whoever Mr. Magic is ever going to be, if he's ever going to be, he'll have his hands full. And it would take, you know, a very strong man to be with you because you are a very strong, independent woman who knows what it is that you want. And, you know, there are some things and some areas that are non-negotiable. So, and that's definitely understood. And it's a great quality, actually, to know what it is that you want. But when you're dealing with someone like myself, that would, you know, we would probably knock heads in that area because I definitely, I guess they say opposites attract or two people of the same couldn't get along. Some folks would say that, oh, that's your soulmate and that means you're meant for each other. I'm not really sure what it says, but, you know, I just, you know, the notion of, you know, marriage and not having things my way, the things that that come along with being single, I see still as greatness. They're still inviting and warming to me to be able to say, you know, you're getting on my nerves right now, so, you know, I'm going to go this way and you go that way. Or I'm going to go into this house and shut this door and you ain't in there. You know, those sort of things. You know, there's a whole lot of goodness in being together. Don't get me wrong. You know, I want a companion and someone. I just can't see the permanent aspect of it. Because I'm sure I get on people's nerves after X amount of time myself. So I can't imagine someone wanting to be, and I guess some people want you to be in their face, you know, 25 hours, 8 days a week. And that whole concept is what turns me off. So, you know, I just can't imagine. If it's possible to live a single-like life while being married, that's something that may appeal to me.
Yeah, I got you. Some of that I agree with, but I think if you're going to be married, Mallison, you can't, a lot of that attitude, you just cannot.
There you go.
You just cannot. You cannot have. You know what I'm saying? There has to be some bend. There has to be some compromise. And I think as a man, you have to have that being in compromise specifically as it pertains, you know, to your mate, to your wife, or what have you.
Right. And I guess, you know, they say when the right one comes along, but, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm just, I, you know, and it's possible, you know, but I,
right.
You know, it would have to be a very special certain kind of one that would make me want to, you know, give up, you know, as you say, that attitude or my outlook on things and be willing to do it for her. And, you know, she probably is out there and she probably does exist, you know, but as of now, being single is great and I'm loving it. But, you know, the world tells you, and you know what? Let me stop right there. And so, just because I'm single, that don't make me a player. Where all that come from? Why I gotta be a player because I'm single?
I don't know. And Okay. So I think there are certain definitions that come along with that, certain attitudes.
Right.
So are you dating more than a certain number of people in a certain period of time? Because I'm sure that's where that title comes from. When is the last time you had a relationship that lasted more than a year?
Wait.
Ooh, silence. So I'm just saying, player may be up in the atmosphere somewhere, you know, in terms of definition.
See, okay, so, you know, I pose the question of where does, you know, the analogy or the, you know, connection that because one is single, and I guess with today's society and this generation, I think women get it as equally as men also, that there's a perception that if they're enjoying single life, that they're associating, let's just say, with several people. And that's just not always the case, or, you know, that you're dating, seeing multiple folks, and you don't want to give up the player lifestyle. And, you know, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm, you know, I don't, you know, players play games. I don't play games. I'm not interested, you know, and, you know, and I'm way beyond, you know, something physical just running my life. It's way beyond that. So you're going to have to bring more to the table to entertain my time, you know. But, you know, those days are over. We've sold those oats. Those things are over. But just because I want to remain single doesn't mean that I'm out bed hopping either. So let's just make that clear and clear that up.
Well, I hear you. And as a woman, something just does not feel right about what you're describing. And I'll say this, if I were a woman listening to you talk as a interested party and not as a friend and somebody that knows you,
right,
just as some random woman, I would be like, here's a guy that's not even ready for a committed relationship or marriage.
Right.
A lot of being ready for something like that has to do with attitude, you know, has to do with willingness, an open mind going in saying that I am willing to have a partner for life, that this is the person that I want to build the rest of my days with, not just someone to say I'm getting married, to say I got married. But, you know, in honesty and in truth, you have to have a mindset that says, you know what, I want to have a partner. I want to be married. I want to compromise. I want to give 100% of me and have her give 100% of her. And we both, you know, embark on happiness together. But when I hear you talk, it sounds like I already got my mind up, made up. I'm set in the way that I am set. And anybody coming in the door will have to get with my program. And that tells me that you're probably making the right decision about a single life.
You know what my mama used to say? I ain't wrong, but I might be wrong, but I ain't far from right.
Right.
You might be wrong, but you ain't far from right. Because I don't see anything appealing about not having it my way. Now, and the thing is that there's so many out there, male and female, that will let's just say, do a great acting job for several weeks, like it's going to be your way, or that they'll cater to what your particular needs are. And then somewhere in the game, things change. And unfortunately, I guess that's where we develop baggage, in the sense that we've had those experiences before. And, you know, if we are going to venture out and step out and, you know, in the dating game, or, you know, even consider a relationship, it's going to take time, because people have to prove themselves, you know, and it takes time to do that, you know. I always like to say, you know, anybody can go to church with you for the first couple of weeks, but will they go with you 6 months straight? You know, and that's,
right.
You know, that's the tough part, you know, and that's when you begin to know that it's something that you can deal with, or, you know, that's an analogy, but that's serious stuff, you know. It's tough to get up every Sunday morning when you ain't used to doing that and you faking it.
Yeah, I'm going to just tell you up front, I ain't going.
Yeah. Now, you know, I can appreciate that, because you tell, what'd you say? I'm going to tell you up front.
Right, I'm not going.
There you go. So, and, you know, I'm able to make a choice. But, you know, all of this game plan to where, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you want to find out what it is that, you know, pushes my buttons or strokes my needs, and then you try to be them when they really aren't you. I don't know how, you know, you not expect that to end. That's going to end badly, because you can only keep up the facade for so long. And unfortunately, you know, there aren't many people out there like you today that are willing to be themselves from the beginning. Everybody's playing a particular game, and, you know, you have to take time to figure out what game they're playing. And it can be dangerous, actually.
Right. That's true.
You know.
That is true.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not too anxious about opening up, you know, to people and to my personal life and personal dealings and, you know, bank accounts and all those other things that the married folks share. You know, I'm not too anxious to talk about prenuptial agreements and if we even need one, and, you know, the stresses that come along with those sort of things. But the necessities that, you know, today's lifestyles call for, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you meet somebody today and not talk about finances.
Right, that's true. I mean, at our age, I think that's necessary. I think the generation, I mean, at 25 or 30, I probably wouldn't have had that conversation so readily, you know?
Right, right.
But it's a conversation I have now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think now it's required, right?
It's required,
so...
Totally necessary. So, you know, those are some of the things that you don't worry about when you're single. There's a whole lot of great things that, you know, in the single life we can just get up and go. I don't have to answer to nobody. I ain't got to tell nobody where I'm going. You know, but conversely, on the other side, it hits you eventually. Does anybody care where I'm going? Does anybody care where I'm at? And then the question starts to shrink. Does anybody care?
Right. I don't think it's necessarily human nature to be alone. I think we want a partner in life. I think we want somebody to share things with and to go through experiences with. I'm going to ask you to do something, and all of our listeners, we may only have one.
Yeah.
two, I don't know, or 100, who knows, but I recently read The Alchemist for the second time. I read it when there was a lot of hype about it, and I read it pretty quickly, and I was like, oh, that's a good book. And then I had an opportunity to read it again recently for a book club meeting, and I found it quite profound. Probably my second favorite book next to The Shack. You know how I feel about The Shack. I feel okay. We're not going to get into that. But anyway, The Alchemist, The Alchemist speaks to finding your personal legend. It speaks to being at one with the universe. It speaks to how the universe wants us, how the creator of life wants us to have the desires of our hearts. And if you want something truly in your heart and you pursue something with your heart, then the universe will arrange things and move in ways to give you the desires of your heart. But a lot of times we negate our own happiness, I think, when we ask for things in our heart and doubt them in our minds, you know.
Wow.
So if I keep telling myself that the single life is the life for me, that I don't need anybody, that I'm happy being alone, that I'm happy doing things by myself, then I'm going to, that's going to continue to be my reality, you know.
Right.
So what I do believe is that at no time prior in my life was I ever ready for a marriage. I would have found it easy back then to let go, because I do have the type of personality that before I let something hurt me, I would cut it loose. But as you mature and you learn more about who you are as a person, and for me, more specifically, as a woman, you know what your limitations are. You know what your strengths are. You know what your weaknesses are. And you celebrate them all. You don't try to cast any of them out. The part of my personality that says you cannot get a divorce because in your mind that's failure would have been at complete opposition with the part of me that says I have to sever all feelings for this person in order to survive. So, you know, you have to know some things, I think, about yourself before you are able to share a life with somebody else. So I think for me, yes, I am happily single. But I know that if my reality changed to one where I was about to embark on a relationship or a marriage, that I could give 100%. I used to think, oh, you know, relationships need to be 50-50. They do not. They require 100%.
Yes.
They require 100%. So if I'm spending 100% of my time in the pursuit of your happiness, and you're spending 100% of your time in the pursuit of my happiness, then there's no reason in God's creation that there's room for any one of us to be unhappy.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Yeah, because I think at no time more than now that there seems to be this perception that, I mean, even to a fault, that everything between in a relationship needs to be 50-50. And you know, that's just a great misconception. I really don't believe that any relationship on any level can survive with an insistence of a mentality of 50-50, simply because, you know, there, you know, whether it be the man or the woman or the, you know, whether you're in a same-sex relationship, whatever the case is, there's one party is going to be in a leading position than the other. One's going to be more domineering. There needs to be a submissive role. And I know so many people have problems with the word submissive, but it is necessary in the success of a lasting relationship. You know, I mean, I guess we get submissive. So many people get submissive, confused with controlling, and you know, domineering, and it's not that at all. But at some point, it, you know, a 50-50 relationship is inconceivable simply because there are going to be some decisions and some directions that are going to need to be made. And we can't go through life saying, oh, Tiki, you make the last one, I'll make this one. Okay, my turn, your turn.
I think what's idea is to fall into one another's strengths in a situation. You know, there are some areas that she may be stronger than you, I'm better equipped to deal with than you are. And there may be, for instance, let's say you're the financial person, that you're the person that's strict about paying the bills, about protecting the credit, about making sure things are paid on time. Then
right.
I think it's conceivable that in that area, you take the lead, not you take over, but you take the lead. And there may be an area that she is stronger, and it may be organizing things, organization of, you know, your lives together. And that doesn't mean she's the boss. It doesn't mean that, you know, you let her lead you around by a ring in your nose. It's
right.
just that that's her strength. And that speaks to two partners, two people that are willing to spend their lives together saying, hey, you know, this is where you excel and this is where I excel, and we respect one another in our respective roles to communicate, you know, and
right.
to be respectful, while not saying, while at the same time not saying, hey, you know, making a person feel bad because for being a spendthrift or something, you know,
right?
Or being disorganized. So, I think if I had to make a recommendation to people, I would say, yeah, some of us are not equipped to get married until after 35. So we need to learn some things first. And
right.
then, you know, there are some people, when you look at people, and they're very rare. It's not a lot of people that have been married 50, 60, 70 years, but,
right.
you know,
right.
they just, they were fortunate. You know, they found their soulmate and identified with them very early on. And they went through some things with one another, and they made it work.
See, I don't think that's even possible today. I don't think that, you know, even our parents of today will even allow that, because just as you just said, that, you know, the parents, because of their experiences, would encourage in the children that they live a little bit, you know, and learn a few things before they go ahead and get married. So I think
wow.
the days of getting married in our teens and early 20s, I think that's over. No, let me take that back. That those things may happen because places like Reno and Las Vegas still exist. So, you know, drunken marriages and wrong decisions and things of that nature will continually happen forever. But the days of celebrating silver anniversaries, I don't think that this generation will be able to. There's just not enough time if we're living to 35 and 40 before we get married and would have to be 90 years old to celebrate our silver anniversary.
Right.
So, but I think you did say something key in the sense that respecting each other for, you know, what their strengths are. And I think there's so much, it takes so much effort and so much humbling of one to respect that your mate is stronger than you are in an area that you have been controlling for yourself your entire life. And to turn that over to your mate could be quite difficult.
Right.
You know?
So, it could be. But to be fair, if that's the person you claim to love and that you're going to marry, then there should be a level of trust that will allow you to do that, to let go of the things that you're used to doing alone and let someone else in.
Right. So there's a level not only of trust, it sounds like there's a level of faith that needs to occur.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because we don't just do these things because they would be a good idea or they're even good for keeping the marriage. You have to believe that it's good for you. And
right.
You know, yeah, so, I mean, we all find that person out there. Before we wrap up the show for this evening, we're going to take one more break. And then before we wrap up the show, we're going to come back and talk on some lighter notes on some few things as we usually do before we wrap up this week's version of Cafe Mahogany. We'll be right back.
You're inside the Cafe Mahogany with your host, TCN Cook, the place where we talk about what we don't talk about. For those of you that could not join us inside the cafe, we still want to hear from you. The number to call is 516-595-8113. So pull up a seat, order a drink, and tell us what's on your mind.
Are you a business owner looking to expand your business nationally? Well, join the hottest internet radio network, Team Broadcasting. Advertise your business or organization on this program or others. Choose from a winning lineup: Selma Toro's Baseball, Toro Talk, Bridging the Gap, The Lonely Hearts Cafe, and Cafe Mahogany. We look forward to partnering with your business to help you grow, whether it's locally, regionally, or nationally. Contact us for more information, 334-505-1940, or send us an email at yourteambroadcasting.com, 334-505-1940, or yourteambroadcasting.com. We look forward to partnering with you.
You're inside the Cafe Mahogany with your host, TCN Cook, the place where we talk about what we don't talk about. For those of you that could not join us inside the cafe, we still want to hear from you. The number to call is 516-595-8113. So pull up a seat, order a drink, and tell us what's on your mind.
back here in Cafe Mahogany talking about what we're going to talk about. And tonight we were talking about single and loving it. And part of that, you know, I just wanted to, before we wrap it up tonight, I want to talk about this epic television drama that is, that has taken this nation by storm, that seems to be so dramatic, Tiki, and causing so much controversy in our communities, and that's the greatness of the show Empire. You know, I really can't understand, and I'm sure this will spring into a whole other show, because we do need to talk about this, in that how sensitive people are in our communities, African Americans, about what's on television, and the, you know, the just the ironic aspect of it is that so many are so critical about this show that has such high ratings. Somebody's watching it.
Somebody's watching it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm at a loss as to why our TV shows are so heavily indicted.
Right.
And are so polarizing when other cultures have television shows or television shows that are in mainstream. Is considered art, right? When we have a show or when we are trying to do something, it's considered a negative stereotype. And I just find that my issue with Empire is not with Empire. My issue is with Fox, you know? I am proud of what Taraji and that cast is accomplishing.
Yeah,
it is phenomenal what they're doing.
And Timberland, let me get that in, Timberland, because that music is outstanding.
Yeah, but he doesn't own it, and I'm disappointed about that, and that's why I won't watch the show, because all the original music on the show, Fox has the rights to, and so that's my personal protest.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
talk about that. I don't talk about it in social media or really publicly because I don't want to encourage other people not to watch the show, not that I feel like I could. But when I have my personal protests and things of that nature, I tend to keep them just that, personal, you know?
Right.
So the episodes that I did get to see, and I think I watched the first four, I enjoyed. I really did enjoy, and
right.
then, but I consider myself a writer, right? And as an artist, it is offensive to me for any entity or institution to try to own the soul of an artist. What
right.
I create, what I produce, that's from my heart. That belongs to me, and for you to try to own it offends me. So
right.
when I heard that the young artists on Empire, that whatever they produce on that show, as a part of that show, belongs to Fox, and this is a predominantly black cast, I was
right.
offended. And
wow.
for that reason, I don't watch. But I would like to, you know? It's not one of those things that I know that I'm missing something good, you know?
Yeah, it's
but
great.
But even in personal protest, I find
right.
that I have to be true to who I am.
Right. And you know what? I can definitely appreciate that. And that, you know, that's another angle on it that I didn't really look at, and it's something that I need to think about. My issues are with those who are just, you know, at the front line of it and just at face value, you know, have the audacity to have issues with the content of the show. And, I mean, I personally believe, Tiki, that whether it be Empire or any show, it's reflective once again. If you feel as a parent, I don't believe you're doing your job as a parent. If you feel that your child can be influenced by anything they see on television.
Right.
Anything. And the sole argument, and I mean, I guess it seems that, you know, I mean, and it's sad that everybody has the same TV show to revert back to. Everybody want to go back to the Huxtables. Can you really tell me that more doctors and lawyers, African-American doctors and lawyers, came out as a result of the Huxtables being on television? I don't believe that the numbers swelled for African-Americans because we're so moved. It was great that we got to see that real and positive aspect of, you know, us and the professional lifestyle. That's true. That needed to be seen. But I don't think the Huxtable affected society just as anything else that's on television. And I would like to believe that I've raised my daughter with some more ethical and moral fiber than for her to be able to turn on any television and decide to lead a lifestyle because of what she saw on Fox.
I'm not going to say that children aren't influenced because I know enough about children and I've seen enough children act out things based on what they see. Because children are going to do what you do, not what you say.
Okay.
So I know that they act out the things that they see. And so I'm not going to say that they aren't influenced. I would like to see more parents control what their children are exposed to on television. The Cosby Show was a beautiful chapter in the historical lives of blacks in America. I do. It was one of the early shows that showed us in a positive light, that we knew how to have a family, that we knew how to be successful in life, for sure. But there are too many children raising children, and as a people, we are in a very morally disruptive place because children are being brought up, meaning they're being fed and clothed, but their moral compasses are not being influenced in the right direction. Do I think anybody under 15 should see Empire? I absolutely do not. But the fact is, there are some 7 and 8 years old, year olds can repeat the lines of everything Cookie and Dude have to say.
Right.
And that's the truth, you know. And I'm like, wow, you shouldn't have even seen that. You know what happened. But unfortunately, they are seeing it.
Right. And that's an example, again, is what I'm attempting to get across, is that it's a parental thing. Parents decided to allow their children, or more than likely sat down and watched it with them, you know, and it's on the parents. My thing is that, you know, you're behooving yourself if you believe that you're going to release your child out into the world. And because you sheltered them from what came on Fox, they won't learn any of these things out in the world. You need to deal with, you know, teaching the children to see something and have the discernment of knowing good or bad, right or wrong.
Right.
You know, those sort of things. And we need to make more efforts in doing that. Tiki, it was a pleasure tonight. Thank you. And very entertaining. And you know what? I learned a few things tonight. As a single
man, I'm glad.
I might need to rethink my behaviors. But we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. It was so wonderful. And Brother Togo, thank you so much for what it is that you do behind the scenes. And folks need to know that out there in Radio
Land.
Y'all. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
your head and keep moving. But let the paranoia haunt you. Peace to fashion the police. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Let the runway start. You know the miserable do love company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confidence. Everybody lack confidence. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? Stop promises.
Are you a business owner looking to expand your business nationally? Well, join the hottest internet radio network, Team Broadcasting. Advertise your business or organization on this program or others. Choose from a winning lineup: Selma Toro's Baseball, Toro Talk, Bridging the Gap, The Lonely Hearts Cafe, and Cafe Mahogany. We look forward to partnering with your business to help you grow, whether it's locally, regionally, or nationally. Contact us for more information, 334-505-1940, or send us an email at yourteambroadcasting.com, 334-505-1940, or yourteambroadcasting.com. We look forward to partnering with you.
You're listening to Team Broadcasting.